an untimely death that left thousands confused. The cinematic trailer for War of the Spark, the Magic set released in mid-2019, was a strange departure from the norm when it came to Magic's marketing. Amongst the weird reversed motion on screen, set against a melancholy rendition of Linkin Park's In the End, we see several key story moments flash by without an ounce of context. Two seemingly random people are killed on screen. The scene is then double reversed, showing the moment that Liliana turns on Bolas in the final battle. Bolas roars, Liliana roars, cut to black. Upon this trailer's release, much of the talk online wasn't about the War of the Spark story, about Bolas's defeat, Liliana's triumph, Gideon's sacrifice, or even how strange it was to hear a Linkin Park song in a piece of Magic media. People were instead lamenting about the loss of one of the two random characters killed on screen. No one had expected the death of Dak Faden. Dak is a character that newer folks might not recognize. Having only one legendary card and little appearance in other names or flavor text, it's very easy to have missed the memo on him. He's played a pivotal role throughout Magic media over the years, but outside of his on-screen death in this one trailer, most people will have never gotten the opportunity to meet him. Today, we're digging into the story and mechanics of Dak Faden, an Izzet rogue who's never been caught red-handed. From his debut in Conspiracy and stealing soul rings, to receiving the ultimate disservice from the Wizards marketing team, let's uncover the greatest thief in the multiverse. This is A Dig Through Time, the Magic History podcast where we delve into the secret side of our favorite game. My name is Darren, and I'm joined by the Spark Stealer himself, Adam, aka Scuffle. So who was Dak Faden?
Hang on. Before we start, whatever problems that trailer had, that song is great. Like, In the End deserved a melancholy rendition. That song, like, it covers a lot of different emotions, but it's only sung in the one.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen the War of the Spark trailer, it is definitely worth a watch. Feel free to, when you're not driving or in transport, take a look at it over on YouTube. You will know that it's the right video when it's Liliana's flaming face screaming at you. That's the thumbnail. So it's definitely a good trailer, especially if you're interested in the story.
Yeah, and the song. Like, it's not for every occasion, but it has occasions, and they matter. All right, you can go. You can move. You can go now.
All right. So who is Dak Faden as a character? Dak is a blue-red aligned human rogue. He's from the plane of Fiora, which is the home of the Conspiracy sets. Those are draft-focused supplemental products that released in 2014 and 2016. He was the self-proclaimed greatest thief in the multiverse, a reckless and cocky young man who stole both for the thrill of it and to make his living. He became known for taking treasures from one plane and selling them on the next. Dak was a psychometric, which means that he learned things by touching objects, so he could touch like an artifact and learn its history as well as any magical properties that the artifact would carry with it. This is how he learned both secrets and spells. One of his defining character traits was an internal conflict between self-preservation and the collective advancement, often letting the benefit of others get in the way of his own thieving strides. This conflict would eventually lead to his own demise. So why are we talking about Dak Faden?
So Dak only has one card. It's been printed 5 times, but it's just still the same card from the original Conspiracy. And it is blue-red colorless for a planeswalker with 3 loyalty. And his +1, target player draws 2 cards, discards 2 cards, -2, gain control of target artifact, and -6, when you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell that targets one or more permanents, gain control of those permanents. So he's a fast, snappy 3-mana planeswalker, saw some legacy play. He's still a cube favorite anywhere where there's a lot of artifacts.
Yeah, that is his representation in the game, and unfortunately there isn't very much representation outside of that, save for a couple of cards and some lines with flavor text that we will talk about a little bit later. So why are we talking about Dak Faden? When he was introduced to the majority of the players who might have seen him today, this was in the War of the Spark trailer, where he was basically just a nameless guy who died a more or less pathetic death. Very few people knew who he was when they saw the trailer, and you either didn't know about him and didn't care, or you cared a lot because you recognized him, and it sort of felt like the hope of seeing him again was stolen from you for no reason. He had not made an appearance anywhere for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, he just disappeared. And then the big launch saying, hey, come play some Magic this weekend, was this unnamed character with no voice lines dying to a 1-1 zombie soldier.
Yeah, it wasn't a triumphant or heroic death. It was very much he was treated like a throwaway character, which kind of goes against his entire history, because he has a lot of main character energy about him.
Yeah, and like when we got Dak, he was part of, like, so my friends and I loved Conspiracy. It's such a fun set. If you happen to have an old box, go ahead and draft it. But all of my cube friends, he's their favorite planeswalker. He made a really big impression on his card alone. Just looking at his card makes them want to play with him.
Yeah, very few people actually took the time to learn about his story. And that may be because of the medium through which it was given to us. So Dak's story was given to us through what is known as the IDW comic books. IDW was a publishing company who was given the opportunity to write and produce some Magic-flavored comic books. They ran from 2012 through 2014, and then more were expected around 2017, although those never came to fruition. Each comic released came with a card, a real Magic card, featuring Dak's likeness.
Hey, you've probably seen a few in Commander. Like, they have a little, like, instead of a set symbol, they say IDW in gold letters.
And they were all reprints of relatively sought-after cards that had something to do with whatever issue of the comic they were appearing with.
Yeah, I mean, like, Acquire, Consume Spirit, and Duress are all cards you'll see pop up in Commander all the time. Well, Consume Spirit less so, but still.
And then probably the most famous one that he's on is the Faithless Looting, which was also the art that they use in subsequent Commander deck reprints as well. So you've probably seen a couple card arts with Dak on them, even though you might not have noticed.
So this was around the time that Wizards of the Coast was exploring new ways to put the Magic story out there and find new protagonists. So, I mean, we talked a bit about this in Alara. They were looking at Gideon or Rafik of the Mini, just different characters who could be centered on for the Magic story, and then different ways to tell it. So there were a lot more short stories being released online, and then these comics, in order to replace some of the novelizations of the story, which they were moving away from.
Did you ever read any of the comics that came out?
Okay, so yes, but in a very disjointed way, because they like to give them away on Free Comic Book Day, but only the first issue of each set or volume. So I read quite a few of them, but in like 5-chapter increments.
Okay, so the way that those were released is each story would be about 4 chapters, and therefore 4 issues of the comic book that they put out. So you only ever read chapter 1 of several different stories?
I read chapter 1 of 4 different stories.
That is
4 different Free Comic Book Days.
That's very funny. I remember seeing the comics like on the shelf in my LGS. My LGS was a comic book store, though, so I just thought that they were comics the same as anything else and didn't pay any attention to them. I kind of wish that I had, but...
There's a unique magic-only problem with this style of releasing comic books, and that's like, if you go to the store today, you can probably find issues of the comics for pretty cheap, but you're going to be missing issues 2 and 3. I don't know if those are the right numbers, because those are the ones that had the duress and the acquire in them, but the issues with the consume spirit and... the faithless looting are a lot more likely to still be there.
Yeah, much like the issues with several other magic products, the actual magic cards that come in the products dictate the future of that product, as opposed to anything else that that product might be able to offer. So if the thing doesn't come with a good card, then it's just not going to get sold.
So Darren, like, what... I didn't get to read the story that much, and I didn't get to see much online. Like, what is Dak's story?
Yeah, so Dak's story is a bit of a shorter one. You might remember our Liliana episode that was like just 40 minutes of me saying everything that's ever happened to Liliana. We're going to do that again, but it's going to be much shorter because Dak just hasn't been around as much as Liliana has. So... Dak's story starts on Fiora. He had always been a very bright and intelligent person, which combined with his psychometry meant that he quickly rose to the top of the ranks in his magical schooling. There, he met a boy named Marsh, the other contender for the top spot of the class. They quickly became friends and rivals, as you would expect kids in those positions to be. Each being highly talented at a young age led the boys into a lot of trouble, as what they had in intelligence, they lacked in wisdom. Their overconfidence got the better of them as they picked a fight with the wrong group, who taught them the benefits of bringing a sword to a magic fight. Dak took the brunt of the group's strongest spells, while Marsh met their sword, and the combination of the beating that he received on top of seeing his best friend slain caused Dak's spark to ignite. So after this fight, he stayed on Fiora for a while, eventually meeting up with an old fling named Mariel, who he inevitably taught how to steal things and who would join him on his thieving escapades. This quickly became too much for her, and she retreated back to Drakeston, which is the name of the town that he is originally from. He followed her back, and finding that there wasn't really enough to steal in Drakeston to sustain his lifestyle, Dak took to planeswalking for his thieving ventures. So he landed on a world called Alcaba, where he attempted to steal some mighty artifact. He thought that it was unprotected, but he was eventually caught by the djinns who were guarding the object, and he was detained. Their punishment for this sort of crime involved a piece of torture where they permanently dyed his hand and arm red, marking him forever as a thief. So he was, from this point on, literally red-handed.
So I guess that's better than chopping an arm off, which is what we did on Earth.
Yeah, this is a bit more PG.
I texted a friend and that said, "What's your favorite thing about Dak?" with no context? And he says, "It's that we always catch him red-handed." He's always caught red-handed.
And I have a bit of an issue with that sentence specifically, because from this point onward, Dak didn't really ever get caught. So the only time that he was caught, he wasn't red-handed.
I mean, he was metaphorically caught red-handed, and then we know, like, he dies. So they caught him to kill him, and he had a red hand then. So I think he was caught twice, and he was red-handed both times.
Let us know in however you would like to reach out to us which side of the red-handed debate you were on.
This is an important debate. We do need an answer.
We'll probably have a poll on Twitter. Anyway, as Dak left this world to return home, he returned upon the scene of a massacre. His friends, neighbors, the entire town, even Muriel, were just spread out in the streets, just completely just eviscerated. He blamed himself for not being there to protect everyone, and he swiftly fled, swearing vengeance to whomever had done this. After this, he has a bit of a training montage where he like floats through different worlds, stealing things and learning new skills from them after touching them. He eventually finds himself in Ravnica. This is slightly before, I believe, the events of Return to Ravnica. So he joins up with some of like the more seedy people on Ravnica in the Dimir and such, and he ends up stealing a dagger from the Rakdos. And after touching it, he learns via his psychometry that this is the dagger that was used to murder his town in the hands of one Sifa Grent, a human woman from Grixis. He learned that she gave the dagger to the Rakdos both to earn their loyalty and also to keep the dagger from its own plane of origin, which was Innistrad. Upon learning this, Dak planeswalked to Innistrad basically immediately and fell into conflict with the Falkenroth, one of the vampire families on Innistrad. In his fight with the Falkenroth, he gained the attention of one of the Cathars, a lady named Ingrid. She and Dak teamed up to confront Sifa, though when they arrived at her castle, they found the place basically barren and empty. As it turned out, Sifa knew of Dak's presence on the plane and had gone after him herself. She gathered up the entire town where she knew him to have been, just as she had done to Drakeston. But this time, Dak was able to intervene just in time to stop another massacre. He drove Sifa out, but was unable to enact his revenge. Ingrid then led a plundering on Sifa's castle. While rooting through her things, Dak tried telling her about other worlds and planeswalkers and planes that existed outside of Innistrad, but he noticed that she wasn't really listening, or talking, or moving at all. He turned and saw that she had succumbed to the effects of a stasis spell cast by the one and only Soren Markov, who had followed them in pursuit of the Ancient Fang, which was the dagger that Dak had been waving around in his pursuit of Sifa. Dak quickly traded the dagger for information on Sifa and the freedom of his Cathar friend. Soren's information pointed back to Grixis, where Dak immediately walked to. He was wrangled by Malfagor, a Grixis demon who tried to steal his spark in order to escape the hellish Grixis plane. He failed, of course, and Dak quickly made his way back to Ravnica to find out what Sifa wanted with the Rakdos. Back on Ravnica, Sifa is already up to her schemes. The Rakdos were looking for Dak while there was a big meeting happening at V2 Ghazi, the Selesnya tree base, with some rejuvenation celebration thing. I didn't really understand what they were doing. It was a large congregation. Dak used his touchy learning powers to figure out that Sifa was planning on using the same spell she had used in Drakeston to drain all of the power from the tree spirit.
Can he see the future of an object with his telemetry?
No. It's only past. Like backwards, I believe.
I mean, that's still really strong, but
yeah, learning an entire history of an object seems it's probably much better than we even think it is.
I mean, it's like, I mean, druids in D&D animate trees and ask them who walked past, and that's a big deal. And he can just do it automatically.
Seeing this, Dak took up arms with his Ravnican compatriots and took the fight to Sifa. There was a huge battle, and Sifa ended up meeting the same fate as Marsh, as she neglected to account for Dak bringing a sword to a spell fight. His vengeance secured, Dak didn't really have too much going on anymore. He stole some gauntlet thing from the Boros that eventually started whispering to him as though he were going mad. It told him to bring it to Theros, where he stumbled upon a large pile of like petrified humans. They turned out to be under a sleeping spell. The gauntlet led him to its other half, a metallic arm guard that held some ancient power. What that power was, Dak couldn't really understand, and neither do we. So
we're getting a lot of artifacts here that I want to know more about, and I just can't seem to find anything more about them. Like, it must have been Aurelia's gauntlet. Like, why is it here instead of on Theros?
Yeah, this was right about the time that the comics were ending, and they left a lot more questions than they provided answers. So what we know, we don't really know that well.
Yeah, it seems like, I mean, I'd love to just is a really cool avenue for like exploring the artifacts and maybe why they're not there or why they are somewhere else.
With both halves of his gauntlet, he fought off a large kraken and began having nightmares every night after that. Because of those, he sought out the help of an oracle who told him that the dreams he was having were influenced by Ashiok. And it was happening to everyone else in the town as well. No one knew how to stop it, so Dak was last seen on Theros heading into a portal to the underworld. After this point, we aren't really told what happened in the underworld, but it must have worked out because Dak eventually made his way back to Ravnica. His story gets a little choppy here because this is right about the time that the IDW comic was ending. We know that he spent a good deal of time on Ravnica and did a lot of thieving, as he does. This will be the last we see of Faden until the conspiracy set in 2014, though he doesn't really play a major role in that story either. He's more or less just there because that's where he lived. The plane was his home. We don't really see him at all after that until the events of War of the Spark.
Well, that's really too bad, but it kind of explains a lot. Like, it seems like we are supposed to both get more comics and another conspiracy set. But conspiracy didn't work out. So conspiracy, we'll do probably an episode on that at some point. But it wasn't the right kind of popular, even though the mechanics were pretty universally loved and the format was pretty universally loved. But not by the kind of people who buy it.
Yeah, Conspiracy was a set for enfranchised players. It did nothing to help new players get into the game whatsoever.
Yeah. But I love draft bots.
It wasn't good for business, so we didn't get another one. Hopefully that'll change someday.
Yeah, so that means I would love to see another one. We got, I think, Battle Bond instead, but like that's just some bad luck because it seems like both the comics and another conspiracy set were supposed to continue Dak's story, but instead we just jump straight into this War of the Spark trailer.
Yeah, so War of the Spark. Dak Faden played a pivotal role in the ultimate blunder that was the War of the Spark marketing. Many players had grown fond of the character over the years, those that did read his story, and they felt that he was unjustly ripped away from them in what ended up being a half-baked and unwarranted death. His death in the trailer also didn't match his death in the story, and his lack of a card in the set showed a huge disconnect between the marketing team, the creative team, and the design team, leaving the character...
There's 40 planeswalkers in that set! Why doesn't Dak have a card?
Yeah, that was the major argument. The reason for that is because the set was designed before the lore was created. So he was written into the story after all of the cards were designated, basically. They knew that they wanted to do a planeswalker set, so they made all the planeswalkers, and then they wrote the story around that. Which, Didn't end so well for Dak. It was left the character on a very sour note overall. So in the story, we jump forward to the lighting of the Interplanar Beacon, a signal meant to draw planeswalkers to Ravnica. Dak is compelled by the beacon to aid in the fight against Bolas. Unfortunately, that turned out to be a trap set by Bolas to lure planeswalkers to Ravnica and keep them there with the power of the Immortal Sun. There's a lot of storytelling in the years prior that builds up to this moment, but the gist is that Nicol Bolas wants every Planeswalker spark for himself so that he can regain his old godlike powers that he used to have thousands of years ago before the Mending, and he set up a really elaborate Rube Goldberg machine to make it happen. But it was all destroyed, eventually, in the end, by the power of friendship. Anyway, Dak is on Ravnica and part of the team that's trying to defeat the zombie Eternals that Nicol Bolas is using to fight the Planeswalkers. Along the way, Faden is given multiple chances to escape the plane, but he was convinced by the Amonkhet god Hazoret that he was actually a good person and he should probably stay. His willingness to help others instead of himself won the day, and he was eventually overrun by Eternal zombies who stole his spark and killed him. His last thoughts were of Mariel. So yeah, that's Dak's story. Doesn't feel great at the end there, does it?
I mean, okay, so I actually am a little more hopeful after having you tell me all of that we may see Dak again, because we lost track of Dak in the Theros Underworld, and, like, Elspeth died in Theros Underworld, and she escaped. Like, we might see zombie Dak, we might see, like, a Grixis Dak Faden would be pretty cool. I think he'd still need to be 3 or 4 mana and very strong, maybe a little pushed. But, like, then he can start stealing creatures, too. Maybe he can start grabbing corpses from people. I don't know. He might not be gone. I mean, being dead is not a terrible way to avoid having your sparks consumed.
We might even see Malfagor have his hand back in the situation. I guess anything is technically possible. But, yeah, that's about all we've got for Dak Faden. There are a few other sources of information on him. If you ever get the chance to read the comic books, they are worth a read. And if you don't have time to read 45 issues of a comic, there's a couple of other outlets where you can pick up more details on Dak's story. Both the Magic Wiki and an article series on MTG Salvation called Archive Trap do a pretty good job of letting you know more about the character.
So this has been a little different from the other things we've done because there is less history on Dak than the other characters we've done. But we'd really like to have some more. So if you like thieving planeswalkers and thieves in general and people who grab things and then take them to entirely different worlds, then look out for Dak and maybe we'll get to see him again.
And if you ever happen to run into Mark Rosewater or Gavin Verhey out on the street, hassle it. No.
I mean, that might be enough because, like, they don't... This isn't a character that they know that well. Like, they're great at making magic cards. They had this character in a comic that was written by, you know, magic people, but not necessarily the people who make the game. And then they made cool cards for him and put him on the right pieces of art that suit his personality. But, like, they don't know we want them. We keep getting Jace because people love Jace. Maybe we'll keep getting Dak because people love Dak. I mean, people loved Elspeth enough to bring her back after she was, like, stabbed very badly and removed from her body and thrown into hell for a long time.
Yeah, I suppose we'll see what happens, but, in the meantime, if you would like to hear more from us, Adam, where can people find you?
So I stream regularly at twitch.tv/scuffledeluxe, and we have a pretty nice Discord community, and I also write and work for thegathering.gg along with Darren. And Darren, where else can they find you?
I have writing going up very regularly on TCG Player Infinite. I talk about how to play Magic without spending very much money. And then I do also do things with thegathering.gg, our community website, where even you, lowly podcast listener, can submit any sort of content you like, and we will feature it on our website. If you like the show, like what we do, you can also find us on Patreon, where we occasionally post our bonus episodes called Petals of Insight. Those are basically just short form episodes where we talk about things that we couldn't fit into an entire episode. Arguably, Dak probably could have gone in there, but I like him enough as a character to put him on the full show.
Me too.
But until next time, remember that there is more to Magic than just playing the game. We'll see you around.